Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, before we delve into things, I just want to tell you about our Liverpool streaming service. It is Redmen Plus. Get involved over there for extra Redmen shows in video form, in podcast form. You've got documentaries, features, interviews, and a hell of a lot more besides. If you join as a club legend, you get the Discord chat, you'll get free merchandise and a host of extra bonus perks. It's like Netflix for Liverpool fans. Get over there, get involved. Otherwise, let's face it, you're going to miss out on amazing Liverpool stuff in your life.
Hello everyone, it is the build-up show. Liverpool are going to be taking on Brentford. It is the Monday 5:30 kickoff. After on the back of a wild weekend of footy, we're doing this ahead of it. So Liverpool have literally only just played the last game, which was Leicester the night before this. We're obviously in a compacted period in and around the new year, so yeah, we're gonna play on with this one, even though there will be games literally playing as we're doing this, which will affect a couple of bits and pieces. But anyway, I'm Paul Machin, Abigail Rudkin, and Andy Bell join me in the studio to talk through this one. And we've just done the final word for Leicester. We've tried our best to put a general positive spin on it. Good chat about Nunes and Keita and Thiago and Trent. But it can't be that crap again. Not that it can't, of course it can. Liverpool could literally be that crap again. I mean, like, we could really, really do with it not being that crap again, because there needs to be a bit of a reaction. I'm all for us having weird wins and winning games where you don't necessarily totally deserve it and all that kind of stuff, but it then needs to be backed up with wins where you do, because if you have too many of them, it's just luck, and luck runs out.
Yeah, there's many reasons why we can't be as bad again, not least Brentford are a better team than Leicester this year. They were obviously if I'm not mistaken, they're the original sort of Moneyball big analytics team in England. And you see that when you watch their games. Every set piece is pre-planned. They get spaces, and they're a big sort of physical team. And it's a tough place to go. We dropped points there last season. And yeah, we're going to have to absolutely not throw in another stinker like we have in the last couple of games. We talked in the final word show. You're not going to be 10 out of 10 in every single game. You need to sort of pick and choose your moments and your points at games where you sort of take half an hour off. And we've got away with one last night. We will not get away with one against these. They're flying high. They're ninth in the table. They're doing really well. They're picking points up against our rivals. And we're going to have to be on it.
Yeah, absolutely. The thing I mentioned to you is when we were doing the final word, which I was shocked by, but not as shocked as Andy, it turns out, who was flabbergasted by the stat that at time of recording, Liverpool are the fourth most informed team in the Premier League. Abby, we've won four consecutive games off the back of two defeats, of course, but the only teams in better form, Newcastle were top of that, Arsenal, Man City, and then Liverpool. And look, if you're going to get in the top four, then you're going to have to be at the very least in the top four positions in the form table. And realistically, given the deficit that we're trying to claw back, we need to be better than that. Four consecutive wins in the Premier League, two consecutive since we've come back from the World Cup. That's what's at stake now, is that no more kind of messing around. Our margin for error has evaporated because of how crap we were. We'll just need to get into the business of winning football matches.
I'll take that as it stands, being in the top four for like the most on form, the way we were. at the start of the season, the first half of the season, sort of the divide of the World Cup keeps messing with me head of what actual point that would have. But I mean, I'd take that now. I think we will get top four. Mm-hmm. I'm keeping the faith on that myself personally. A couple of injuries coming back and stuff like that. But they say the table doesn't lie. But seeing us sat in sixth right now, it is hurting me a bit. But that does sort of reflect the way we've played a bit better than that.
No, the table doesn't lie. Liverpool are where they deserve to be. They've not been consistent. They've not been good enough.
We've been consistently bad for quite a bit.
Consistently inconsistent.
Yeah, that's probably. Probably it, to be fair. I mean, I think Chris said last night outside the ground, he said that, like, how predictable we are in every area except our defence weren't predictable last night, but in a negative way. And I sort of got that, except Darwin Núñez, you know, he doesn't seem to be that predictable. But it does feel as though we're in that sort of situation where even I can predict what we're going to do next. And, you know, I don't know. I keep saying every game I go, oh, this is a potential banana skin. This, and at the start of the season, every single one of them were. And I've gone, oh, yeah, go on, I'll say we'll get 3-0 or whatever. And then we just haven't. We've lost to, you know, the lower down the league tables. But Brentford are actually a really good side, which is what's scaring me at the minute. But, you know, the likes of Tony going off injured on a stretcher last night. Yeah. Probably, I mean, I hope he gets better and all that, but it's probably a positive thing for us because he is absolutely on fire for them right now.
Yeah, 12 goals for him already this season in the league. He'd be a huge miss for them. But, yeah, and look, Trent talked in his post-match interview, Andy, we did more on this in depth, obviously, about his performance on the final word, but it was interesting what he talked about. You know, we're 15 points behind the league leaders. It's, you know, which is... Look, it's effectively that's any talk of titles is just foolish at this point. Mm-hmm. But I like the notion, and I think it's right, and it's the right attitude to have, certainly for the players, of we've just got to go and win loads of games of football. We've got to put a winning run together, and then if people have a collapse, then you've got to be right there to capitalise on it. But even that right now is it's nice that they feel that way, but from our perspective as sort of fans, I just need to see us do. Let's have five games on the bounce. Yeah. And let's then have six games on the bounce. Any talk of 10 or 12 feels a little early because right now I'm still seeing a lot of the problems that have plagued us in the start of the season. We're still a bit porous. We're still a little sluggish in our press at times. We don't seem to be able to put multiple games down in a week and have that high level of intensity. And this is effectively three games in like less than thereabouts a week. So, yeah, it's a big ask to suggest that Liverpool are going to go back to their top form, but that's what it's about right now. We've got to get into the grind, and I'm hoping that that's what the second half from Leicester will have kind of shown, is that just go in there, put your body on the line, throw everything at it, and kind of see where we lie. You know, see the FA Cup game will kind of take care of itself one way or the other. Don't worry about that one. This is where all the energies have got to go.
Absolutely. I made this point in the final word show. This is a Liverpool team who in the past have always been able to have a 10-game run in them. Yeah. You look back to that COVID season, which is probably the worst we've seen of Liverpool under Klopp, certainly those six games at home in a row, losing 1-0, I think, in pretty much every single game. We still managed to come out of that and, you know, win eight games in a row last game of the season, won eight of our last 10. You've got a couple of draws in there. We've been in worse form. We've seen worse Liverpool teams put runs together that would probably, if we do win 10 in a row, not that I can see that coming based on anything that's happened on the pitch, we probably could find ourselves back in the title race, and I would be looking actually at Man City, not Arsenal. I think Arsenal will collapse. I don't think they're a 95-plus point team.
You know, I'm the same as you on Arsenal. Yeah. I'm not convinced just yet that they're going to go all the way.
I think in any other season, you know, before the Klopp-Guardiola era, absolutely they'd be in the title race, but this is a different era. This would be an era you have to get 95 points, and every drop points feels like a disaster.
They remind me a little bit of us having Tottenham in the Champions League final, and that was kind of different because I think that was the peak of that side, and it was like, you know, but what I mean by it is really it's like they'll be made up to just be there or thereabouts.
Yeah.
It's great to be in a title challenge. I think they will accept, their fans will be happier with
that's
it
their
if it
achievement
does.
Sort of thing.
Which sounds a bit condescending, yeah, I know, because Arsenal are a big football club and they've obviously won the league plenty of times, but I agree on that. If it were to follow, it wouldn't be the end of the world, although it will. Everyone on social media and the media will make Arsenal feel like it's the end of the world.
Their fans should be excited about this. You know, if I was in Arsenal's position, I'd be thinking we can win the league. You know, I'm analysing it from an outside coming in, but if you hate this whole thing that you should be realistic as a football fan, listen, we all like put in the graft Monday to Friday. You know, you go to the football, you want to get excited, you want to dream, and you want to be a little bit naive. And I'm still looking at Man City thinking, well, you know, if the drop points here and here and here and they play Chelsea soon, you never know. But I think the thing that people forget, and I think we forget it as fans of Liverpool who have been, as I say, in this Klopp Guardiola era where every drop point's an absolute disaster. You need 95 plus points to have any chance of winning the league. If we're in a top four battle, that doesn't happen. The reason teams are fighting for top four is because they're actually a bit crap compared to what we're used to. And they drop points all the time, not least because they're always playing each other. Teams are always playing each other and taking points off each other. You know, both teams can't get the 3 points. So I think that, you know, in the COVID season when we went for top four, everyone wrote us off from that because they were thinking the likes of Chelsea and Leicester will win their last six games. But these, you know, teams that are going for top four generally don't put 6 and 7 game wins run together. Yeah. And I think that's what we have ahead of our rivals, but we just need to show it.
I think this game, and obviously January's going to be kind of telling for this, I think, because I think we need to get back up and really back up and running and get into some run of form. But you're right, look, there's a reason why, and I just double checked it, like last season 71 points get you fourth, 2021 67 points get you fourth. And when you consider those titles were won on 90 plus and 86 it was won by Man City, it's a huge gulf between top and fourth. But how you go about therefore achieving those points is different. You're right, you don't win 10 games on the bounce when you're a team that finishes fourth. And that's the difference we're going to see in the next, I think in the next 2 or 3 weeks, we're going to find out whether Liverpool are a team that's still at that 90 point odd level, but one that's had a really bad run of form that's kind of undercut that, or are we genuinely back in the pack of third to sixth, where you're going to win 2 or 3 games and then you're going to draw one and maybe you'll lose one and then you'll win a couple. I mean, to the point, beating Villa, that was the first time we've won 3 games back-to-back in the league all season. You know, that's what's really interesting about the Brentford game, is that this is a great test, a great challenge. If we can go 5 wins back-to-back in the league, that will give me, certainly, I'll be the encouragement that we are a team that's capable of then doing another 5 or another 5 on top of that.
Not that much has changed in terms of the squad and stuff. I mean, I know Mane's gone.
But people will argue isn't that the problem?
Yeah, well, that's it. I'm sick of the word, like, in transition, and, like, I'm sick of the idea of that we're in transition, because you can be stuck there, like the likes of Man United and, you know, Chelsea and teams like that and Tottenham, like, they're constantly saying they're in transition periods, and I'd hate for us to end up back in that pack where it's constantly, when is that moment going to be where we're out of the top four and we're going for titles again. But I've got full faith in Klopp and this team that we're going to be able, this time next year, we'll be up there. I just don't think this season, like, some people are like living a dream if they think, if City drop a few there and stuff like that. Like, I'm rooting for City against Everton later. Like, I've sort of given up on the idea of us going above City, that, like, I just want to see, like, Everton cry, basically. I'm just going to be evil.
Well, and that's kind of weird, isn't that? Again, it's like those expectations of stuff, is also to remember that if we're in a title challenge, then you've got to win every game of football now between now and the end of the season, which, again, I think is just a bit mad. If we're in a top four race, you actually don't. No. And this is where, like, obviously the FA Cup becomes a conversation, and the returning Champions League in February will become a conversation, because, you know, we can't afford to, we need to be good in at least one competition this season. Liverpool still need to have the ambition of lifting silverware. But if you want to finish in the top four, you don't have to be perfect every week. And maybe we need to look at that and embrace that a little bit. I'm not prepared to do that just yet, because I'd rather us do kind of what we did in the COVID season, that final 10 game run where we got back to kind of where we were at, and it meant, yeah, we finished what, third in the league or whatever, but it meant nothing in the grand scheme of things. But it was a nice indicator that we're not fucked and we're not shit, and we're not a team that's garbage. Yeah. But yeah, we're gonna have it's gonna be very different to have a Premier League season, perhaps, where there's no need for us to go flat out week in, week out.
Where you're not, like, feeling as though the only other games you have to watch is City and feel that anxiety. But you could look at it another way and say, like, now we're all sitting there on the edge of our seats watching Newcastle games, United games, Chelsea games.
And that, you're right.
You know, and then I just end up feeling sick. So I'm trying to, like, I'm trying to look at it in, like, a positive
spin. But there's more wins that way, because you're all of those teams, like, if the top four or the traditional big four or big five or big six or whatever you want to call it all won every week, everyone would win massively at the bookies every week because you just do an acher on it.
Anyone won last night. I don't think anyone put those two own goals on a bet.
No, exactly. But that's what I mean. It doesn't happen. The big teams, one always drops points or draws or loses almost every week. Obviously, it didn't happen. Everyone kind of kept ticking over in the first game week back. But you're right, it inevitably happened. There's something to that. I kind of like the idea of I can watch, because I won't really watch them, but like, keep an eye on Manchester United and keep an eye on Chelsea and keep an eye on how are Leicester there? I was looking at 2021. I was like, Leicester are fifth. I was going back from being finished fourth. I was like, that's last night. Yeah. That's insane. Manchester United, Spurs, Newcastle, City, and Arsenal having a few more irons in the fire to watch teams to get more Schadenfreude, in the season.
You get
from
a bit
enjoying
of pleasure out of it.
Yeah.
Don't you?
The last three seasons.
I want to get pleasure out of them being
ever since. Ever since it's been Arsenal City going for the title, I've watched so much less football because I'll just watch us and watch City every week and I'll have absolutely no interest. Anyone could be playing up front for United at the minute.
It's like watching superhero films that aren't attached to a superhero universe. It's like watching the old Spider-Man films, no point, because those characters go absolutely nowhere. What's the point? That's what it's been like with all the other games. There's a big race for top four and these last few seasons, gives a shit, no interest to me whatsoever. So you're right, at least there's more vested interest in the general goings on, for now, certainly. Brentford, as mentioned, they're ninth in the Premier League at the moment, 23 points. They've played 17, so they've played the full quota of matches compared to everyone else. That is a little bit of a false league position for them. A win for Fulham, this is their game in hand, would take them above them. If Crystal Palace were able to find some semblance of form, obviously they've been a bit rubbish of late, they could go above them. So Brentford, they're going okay, they're in decent form, but you could easily see a world where actually they could easily be a pressing for Europe side as much as they could be a top half of the bottom half kind of team, but certainly not one to be taken too lightly. I mean, the good thing we've got going for us here, Andy, is that both teams played at the same time. They've all got the same recovery period between games. You'd like to think that will play into our hands a little bit, particularly because if they've got Tony injured, we can stack up any injuries that we've got alongside that.
And the only thing is, by all accounts, they seem to be a lot more convincing in their victory than what we were. I mean, you couldn't really get any less convincing than what we were. But West Ham are in trouble at the minute. They were booing the team off last night, and they're not very good this season. But it's still a tough place to go, and to win 2-0 there as a team like Brentford is impressive. And I saw their goals on when I came in and watched Sky Sports last night. I think one comes from a set piece again. It's a flick on and a rebound, and they do seem to get goals like that. And as good as Tony is, and I think he gets 13 last season already and 12 this season, probably very unlucky not to go to the World Cup in the end, to be honest. As good as he is, when you actually look down the list of scorers for them, there's a good few players on 3s, 4s, and 5s. And I've got this thing with Brentford. I swear they've got like 4 Danish midfielders who are just like the same person. There's no way that Janelt, Norgaard, Janssen, Jensen are different people. Like, they're all the same person. And they all chip in with the odd goal. And because of the way they are and they're very analytics focused, they all seem to be all able to chip in all the time. That's what worries me slightly. That's why I think they're slightly better than, say, I don't know what the equivalent would be, say, where if Tony was just scoring 20 a season and he was all they had, whereas, those players do chip in.
Their overall style should survive not having him if it's in the short term.
And what they are is they're the definition of a team who are stronger than the sum of its parts because he's got them playing in that way. So, I think they're a very good team. I think we need to have a look at getting some physicality into that team compared to what we had. I think you probably bring Ibu back in at this point just because he's more of that physical defender, whereas Matip's a little bit better at sort of interceptions, etc. I'd be cautious before I played Harvey Elliott again. I think if we can get Henderson, Thiago, Fabinho in the midfield, I would do it. And it's almost at the point where, albeit he's only been, well, as we speak, he's not even signed for the club. A maximum one training session, but he's never going to do it. But I'd almost be tempted to lash Gakpo in for 60 minutes purely because he's 6'4" and we're struggling so much in that left-hand side of attack position. But I'm sure we'll come on to talk about that.
We absolutely will come on to talk about that in part two. Before we head to the break here, I just want to update people on the BetMate from last week's game, or from yesterday's game, I should say, really, against Leicester. Leicester. We can get the table up, and it is a big win for Claire. Not that table. Come on. Come on, Joe.
Not that one.
On the iPad, mate. Fucking hell. You got it. Hey, there we go. A big win for Claire R, who took home £250 on 43 points. She captained Trent, vice captain Thiago, which did the business in that one. And in fact, I'm just going to lean over. We can just, you know, just, in fact, you just scroll down for us, Abby. You can see Steve. Oh, not that far. Jesus Christ.
Sorry.
See, Steve is in there somewhere.
Steve, there.
There he is. Redmen Steve. £8.50 for Steve. Finally starting to turn his betmate season around. We do have the overall table for how we're performing. There it is. Still top of the pile is me. 613 points. 111 total won. Payjack is in second. 599 points, £61 one, and there's Steve there with £21 one. The guests, I don't know why they've got the guests below. Is it, they must be going
points,
on points.
Yeah.
Points, not winnings, but the guests have still won more money than Steve. £28.08.
It's the real league table.
But yeah, there's the money table is the real table. Right, the guys are going to be picking their team in part two. We're going to have a very, very short break. Obviously, Cody Gakpo has joined the Reds. We've done some amazing, amazing coverage of that over on Redmen Plus. We've got three expert insight shows, but the most recent one is with Bolo Zenden. Of course, long-time Liverpool fans will recognise him from playing for the Reds, but he has been a coach at PSV and has coached Cody Gakpo over the last 7 years, so some great insight from him. We're going to give you a clip from that. But yeah, we've got a trivia question, and I really scraped the barrel with this one, I'll be honest. Which four former Liverpool manager has scored as many goals against Brentford for the Reds as our all-time top goal scorer, Ian Rush, answers after this.
I've been working at PSV for the last 9 years, so yeah. I've been really closely in contact with Cody, and I've seen him develop from a youth player coming through the ranks up until the moment where he joined Liverpool. So I've seen him all the way through where, as I said, he came through the ranks. He was a big talent, had to fight himself into the team. The usual struggles, what you get is that when you come on, then as a sub, you can make it work. And then all of a sudden you want more, you become a starter. And then as a starter, it doesn't really work out. You can then all of a sudden you play well for an hour, then you play well for 90 minutes. And all of a sudden you get into a momentum where you play every single game. You get called up for the national team. And he even was a captain of PSV this season. So he's really come, you know, through every stage of development, and this is the next step.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey everyone, welcome back. Yes, if you want more hot Cody Gakpo content in your life from all different angles, we've had the view from PSV fans, we've had the view from the Eredivisie, and we've had the view from inside the training grounds on PSV and how he's going to settle in, what kind of player he is, what we could expect from Liverpool's new £37 million January signing. Go to redmenplus.com and sign up and get that. Dan Club, by the way, has been absolutely sensational. We are very much in low power mode at the festive period, and Dan has just like heroically stepped to the foot. He's like, I've got Bolo Zenda. We're like, right, quick, get it all sorted. So yeah, really, really good stuff indeed. Yeah, in video and in podcast form. So if you want to listen to them on your commute, then you can do that as well as watch them. Right. I asked before the break which former Liverpool manager scored as many goals against Brentford for the Reds as our all-time top goal scorer, Ian Rush. Before I get your answers, do you know how many goals Ian Rush has scored against Brentford?
Is it none?
It's not none.
I was going to say the answer.
He's not our top goal scorer against them. Our top goal scorer against Brentford is Jack Balmer, who scored three goals that joint with Alf Hansen. And I realised that, like, even I vaguely recognised the name Jack Balmer, but it might be because I'm getting it confused with Jack Bauer from 24. He scored, yeah, three goals in seven appearances, 3 and 5 for Alf Hansen. There's three players in the top five who've all scored two goals against Brentford. Ian Rush is the, of course, Liverpool's all-time top goal scorer, scored two goals in one appearance. Michael Robinson scored two. But the former Liverpool manager,
Kenny's all I can think.
Graham Souness.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Two goals in two games against Brentford. Wow. There you go.
Take that. We are the bottom of the barrel. Am I not getting that right?
Take that. Well, it was, yeah, I mean, it was, yeah, it could have been anyone. Could have been
it's
Bob
New
Paisley.
Eve, my brain went blank.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
As if I've already had the drink.
Yeah, because
it's a New Year's Day. If it was tomorrow, I could have used that.
Just thinking about getting smashed tonight. Right, sound. Okay, yeah, injury issues abound still for Liverpool. One we didn't actually pick up on the final word show, but Robbo played with a dead leg that Harvey Elliott gave him in the warm-up, apparently. So Robbo will be a doubt for this one, you would imagine. Harvey Elliott got a knock and he limped quite severely off the pitch and also went straight down the tunnel, whereas Robbo went and sat down. So there's a chance, I don't think there's any need to risk Andy Robertson for this, but there's that. Still no Diaz, still no Jota, still no Arta. Firmino, we don't quite know where he's at. It'd be nice to have him available, of course. Look, injury room have got us as 10 players potentially out for this game. And just as follows, Diaz, Arta, Jota, Curtis Jones, Roberto Firmino, James Milner, Cody Gakpo, is obviously still not technically available, Fabinho, Robertson and Elliot. Fabinho's, I would guess, now as we went into the studio, his baby's been born.
It's been born, yeah.
Which is cool.
I don't think that means he'll be back, though. It feels like Klopp's nice enough to maybe give him a couple of days, but maybe.
But I wonder whether there's a question to be asked. And I know we joked about this, about how, you know, Klopp is happy to let his players be human beings. Yeah. He'll let them go off for these kind of things in life, which I think is sound. But
was it born here or in Brazil?
I don't know.
I'm mad that we're analysing this.
No. Can we get the chalkboards out
around there, Abby? Come on.
it's
like an Andrew Tate thing about the pizza boxes.
Yeah. Has anyone seen the announcement?
I'm like, if you zoom in, that's defo the women's.
That's definitely Portuguese.
She geotagged the photos of the baby.
That looks like Arrow Park. That's Brackenhead, definitely.
Definitely. I mean, that's going to be a big thing on this, and whether there's a conversation to be had with Fabinho if he's back in Brazil, that's a huge conversation to have, and I think that would probably rule him out. But if they are on Merseyside, and given, you know, if Harvey Elliott's out injured in particular, I mean, you looked at the bench that we lined up there, and Bobby Clark's on there and Bacetic on there, and I'm happy for Bacetic to be involved, but you're starting to get to a position where you're running out of footballers there, Abby, and Jordan Henderson did have a really tough game against Leicester. I think asking him to go again, I don't see how you're going to get a more energetic Jordan Henderson performance. I wonder whether this is an example where you maybe just drop him a little WhatsApp and say, Fab,
I think he'll play. I do. I think he's going to play, to be honest. Like, that sounded horrible. I was going to say he's had his day. But, that sounded horrible.
Yeah.
No, but you know what I'm saying? I feel like we really need him. And I'm sure Fab and his wife loves the footy as well. I'm sure she, like, wants us to try and get top four.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, you sat around.
Do a celebration for your kids.
Yeah, stick a footy up your top.
Can a 36-year-old do Brentford away?
Look, you just sat around in a basic fugue state anyway. Having something to watch on the telly is going to be a good thing. So watching Fab run around the pitch will be something. I mean, look, it's easy peasy. The first couple of days are easy peasy. They just sleep all the time. Like, I mean, he can just get in training for a few hours, get himself ready, go and play a game, come home in time for the night feed. Depends whether the baby's on bottles or not, like, you know what I mean? Because if not, then it's less for him to do. You know, he's just got to... The rich, they can have people around to support. I don't know.
We're just being selfish here. Yeah, 100%. Talking him around.
Come on, fam.
We need him.
Yeah, fly all your family over for the support network if needs be.
You can have my seat in the upper main if they want it.
All joking aside, I really think we could do with Fabinho for this one, but obviously, you know, the team unity and stuff, there's also a little point where it might be you're asked the squad almost, it's like, are you all right with us? Do you want us to get Fabinho back in, or do you want him to have his paternity leave? But if you allow him to have his paternity leave, you're all going to have to work loads harder, you're all happy with that. They'd probably all say yes, even though that might not be the right thing. I think Keita is the one for me, and I think he's got to come in for this game. In another world, if Fabinho was absolutely ready and in training, and maybe if we still had Elliot as an option, I would probably be bringing him in for Thiago, just to give Thiago, maybe do 60-30 flip. So Keita does 60, Thiago does 30, but there's just given what we've got at the moment, if you're not playing, if you've got no Fabinho and you've got no Elliot and you've got no Milner and you've got no Jones, we've kind of not, it's Bacetic or Keita really coming in.
I think in that scenario it would be Keita. I actually think what he'll do is ask them to go one last time before the FA Cup, because we've got just under 2 weeks from that until Chelsea at home at the 12:30 on the Saturday. After the FA Cup, we've got a game before that. It's Brighton on the Sunday, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So yeah, we've pretty much got 2 weeks after this. So I think he might actually ask him to go again. I think he might ask Henderson to go again here. I think he's going to play Fabinho. Obviously, you can hardly speculate on these things. You know, it's entirely sort of out of football. So I think he might, if he can, go for Fabinho, Henderson and Elliot. Now, as I said in the final word show, I've been massively impressed with Keita off the bench, and I would have absolutely no qualms with him starting this game if it came to it. I just think are probably our most physical midfield, and this is a very physical Brentford team. You know, it's not the sort of nicest football. It's not sort of tiki-taka all the way through. And when they need to just sort of kick it up the pitch 40 yards and get the ball in a better position, they'll do it, sort of route one. And I think you want sort of your most physical midfielders in there. That's why I'd be a little bit worried about Elliot or a Carvalho coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously Naby Keita, you know, he can handle himself, but it wouldn't be in your sort of most physical midfield for that game. So I don't think he's going to start. If he does, I've no issue with it. Because as I say, I think he's been really, really intelligent when he's come on, and he's actually been a massive part of the last two wins that we've had.
His role at the back end of last season was integral to Liverpool putting that run in together in all the competitions. And it wasn't necessarily him starting and playing 90 minutes, but it was him and Thiago, or in that rotational midfield, where you're not asking him to run himself into the ground because he can't. Yeah. But he is quality, and he has got quality to add. And as much as I really like the look of Stefan Bacetic, and I wouldn't be against him playing, I wouldn't want to see him anchor in the midfield again against Brentford, Abby, but I wouldn't be against him if he starts in midfield, you know, or maybe on the right of the midfield or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that's a big ask of a young lad to come into this one. If Kate is fit, that's what he's there for. He's a senior footballer for us.
Yeah, I mean, the amount of money we paid for Kate, he should be able to play in that game. But if we had an update on Harvey, is he not injured? Is he all right?
Because
when I'm thinking about who I'd start, I don't know.
There's not been a clear update on Elliot at this point.
Klopp not saying anything.
But given how he limped off,
yeah,
I don't think you'd run the risk of damage unless it's a bad bruise and he's just fine. Yeah. As I say, look, Robertson had a dead leg, played with it, and to the point where he couldn't, and he goes and sits down on the bench. Harvey goes straight down the tunnel, and he looked quite upset when he was going off. But again, we're reading into body language because this is where we're at. Trent and Salah were kind of around him, but there was no great like concern for him. They were not like work against Leeds when he was obviously really, really badly hurt. So we might touch lucky, but again, I don't. It's who you're gambling on.
Yeah.
And if and again, come back, if Kate is fit, do you take you should be able to just come in and play. You're having this conversation. It should be a no-brainer.
There shouldn't be a debate around Keita. Like, we all know his quality and like the money that we spent on him and that. I mean, it's injuries that have stopped him, really, and he has had a couple of stinkers. But, you know, based on last night, I'd say we've got to, really, considering all the injuries and that. I mean, you could probably... We haven't even got the fitness to drop Ox maybe back, but...
Well, this is the thing. It's how else do you freshen it? Because Oxlade-Chamberlain is another one who... I thought he wasn't really.
He
did nothing against
night.
Leicester, but he was fine against Villa.
Yeah.
And he was fine coming off the bench against City as well, Andy. But you're then in the world where Carvalho back in, maybe. There's no one who's truly convincing, I think, in our backup options at the moment.
That's the only position I'm a little bit concerned about going to this game. Obviously, you know, we're asking the midfield to go again, but, you know, we can easily play. Even with Robertson out, Tsimikas comes in. I think he can do a similar level job. I think, you know, you absolutely trust Tsimikas in that position. Even if we have to bring a Harvey Elliott in, as I say, and it sounds like a broken record, but concerns about the physicality, it's still Harvey Elliott in Liverpool midfield. You're fine with it. That left-hand side at this point is just a bit of a concern for me. I think Chamberlain came in last season, and I think it's got a bit understated when Mane and Salah went to the African Cup of Nations and he played in that right hand side. He wasn't, you know, pulling up trees, but from a tactical point of view, he stretched the pitch.
He scored against Brentford.
He scored against Palace, didn't he? He did score against Brentford as well, actually. He scored that back post header. But without sort of doing the Salah thing of taking on four men or sliding, you know, getting the goals and assists, he played in the right hand side and he stretched the pitch, and we were able to just like do something a little bit different, and it got us through that. You know, because I don't know if you guys were. A vivid memory of that first Arsenal League Cup game, but absolutely stank the place out. They were down to 10 men for the whole game. Minamino misses that horrific chance, and you know, he ends up going Cade Gordon on the right in the return leg, and he very clearly switches it up. I think Chamberlain's problem is he's having to play on the left. I think if he was playing on the right, we could very easily get a functional performance out of him.
It's whether you refresh it by just shuffling that pack around a bit, you know, maybe move Salah central, move Ox to the right, and put Darwin Nunes on the left.
That would actually be something I'd strongly consider. But it looks like he wants to keep that Salah Nunes thing, because it looks like it's a good thing at the minute that we've got going there. And as I say, Carvalho on the left, I think, you know, he's probably stylistically more suited, but as he's still just a kid as well, and sometimes
I just wonder with Carvalho, he's not natural on that on the flanks.
I don't think he'll play wing for us long term.
Exactly, and I think, but then there's games where I think if you have loads of possession, you're pinning the team back and it's all little small intricate movements in and around the box, I think Carvalho will suit that. It's when we are, you know, again, you're being robust, you're holding the ball up, you're trying to turn it round, you're looking for pace on the counter attack, I think he gets a little bit lost. But and that was all evidenced in the Man City performance. I don't think he did a great job as a left winger, but an attack forms, he's drifted centrally, he's in exactly the right place at the right time, and he sticks the ball in the back of the net because that's where he wants to be. And I just wonder whether this is one where if you're going to play Carvalho, do you just put him central, and he might get bullied off, but try it for 45 minutes. I think he's just as likely to get bullied on the flank. But I think Nunes having a bit of space to run into, potentially let him terrorise it with his pace, Salah can do the same, and just see if Carvalho can knit it together centrally for the game, maybe.
I'd be happy with that, mate, to be honest. I mean, I've got no problem with just putting Nunes on the left. Like, he's great there, do you know what I mean?
I genuinely think he's better there. If only even when he's central, all his dangerous moments come from pulling out wide anyway.
I can't get out, like, if Chamberlain's playing on the right wing and kind of his game is sort of getting to the byline, traditional winger getting across, and imagine Nunes attacking those crosses from the left,
absolutely. Why not? It will be too soon for Gakpo, you would imagine. I mean, technically, I think it's said that the Dutch transfer window actually doesn't open till the 2nd, I think. This is a couple of days old. This was the talk immediately after the signing, that they might need special dispensation. The fact is, I don't quite know how the work permit of it all works, because technically, if you haven't signed someone until the 1st, we know he's been at the AXA because he's done all those in Bailing. He was at Anfield for the Leicester game. But is he actually allowed to train?
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know how it works like that. But Klopp said, didn't he? Like, he was like, oh, well, it's a bank holiday on Monday, so you just have to wait for a couple of people to sign. So, and he was like, yeah, in his press conference, he was just like, I don't know, you just have to say bank holiday, innit? Sort of like dead casual. I was like, come on, like, give me a bit. But I think the 7th's probably when we're going to see Gakpo.
I think he fully ruled him out of that, the Brentford game, which suggests that it is possible.
Yeah, he didn't.
I think you
him
might
out.
See him on the bench, you know, if it's possible.
Maybe right at the lift. End, they yeah. might, we might yeah. bring him on.
I think, again, given who's likely to be involved in and around the match day squad, are you going to chuck, if you can chuck Gakpo on the bench, even if you know he can't even get on the pitch, you're probably putting a young lad on there who you wouldn't. You've put no on anyway. Yeah. He's just going to be a body, or you're going to put an extra goalie on or something, you know, which I know we do a lot. You know, you put Harvey Davies on the bench, you might as well put Cody Gakpo, even if, again, you know you don't want him on the bench.
If it comes to it, we're in a situation, it's 85 minutes in and we're 1-1 and we've all the pressure, and how you press and how you do this, that and the other involved with the team doesn't really matter. It's just about this 6'4" guy might win a header against the goalkeeper like he did in the World Cup. You know, that's what it might come down to. And I think it's an interesting one with Gakpo. We might not actually see the best of him for the first couple of months, because we've got this situation on the left-hand side where Jota is out until February and Diaz is out to March, or is it the other way around?
Yeah, I can't remember. I think that's right.
Either way, it's a couple of months before we've got one of them there. So I think, you know, you look at how we're playing right now and how we're lining up, Gakpo will probably have to do a lot of work on the left-hand side for the first couple of months, and that might not be his long-term position. At the World Cup, he played very well in the number 10, and that's where I sort of immediately envisioned him coming in. Now, he's obviously going to drift centrally anyway, and we talk in the final word about how they interchange. But, you know, he might just have to sort of perform a role, and he may be a left winger long term for us, or he may not. But for now, you know, it's an injection of quality that we badly need in that position.
I thought he was going to take the number 10. To be honest, I was quite surprised when his team number came up.
Who
have
we got that lined up for?
Ooh.
The thing that's going to be as far as Liverpool's availability and players, we don't know Robbo. You presume if it's a dead leg that you'd probably just put him on the bench for this, and Costas could do with a start anyway.
No problem with Costas.
So that's good when he came on last night, Costas.
Yeah, he was. But again, the bench for Leicester was Gomez, Konate, Keita, Tsimikas, Carvalho, Clark, Bacetic and Doak. I mean, Doak's another one. I think we need to be careful with him, and I think it's quite telling that we haven't, you know, he hasn't thrown him in. He's given him little sniffs here and there just to kind of aid his development. But I wonder if there is a point here where you could really do. He's exciting. He is an option, and we are sorely lacking. I mean, my point. Sorry, I kind of got distracted from my own point when I saw Doak and got a bit excited again. But if you're taking potentially Elliot out of that team, then you know you're putting Cater into that team, which means you've got to fill Cater's spot on the bench. I'm not really sure, unless someone comes back, who that would be. You know, we're really going down the pecking order in terms of the youth players there. So you're right, the Gakpo, if you can, I'd certainly be looking to lash him on the bench. But yeah, there is one or two little concerns there. But I wonder whether are you better off, let's say Doak as an example, Abby, would you chuck him in? Are you better off chucking him in for a half or 50-60 minutes and go and asking Ox, Nunes and Salah to go again? Or do you do what we've seen so far and ask them to go again and then have him as that 10-minute surprise package?
Yeah, maybe the 10-minute surprise. I get ahead of myself with Ben Doak. Yeah. I get so excited every time we play him. Like, I literally go, don't need signing, he's got Ben Doak. He's like brilliant. Like, this is literally the new Messi or something. I literally get so excited about him. And he does whatever he wants, and he's got that like that exciting bit of him where he is unpredictable. He's got that bit of that madness like Nunes, where you just don't know what he's going to do next. I get overly excited about him. Like, if it was up to me, he'd start. But that is putting too much pressure on the young lad.
I think it is. And I wouldn't be, if we had other options available, Andy, I wouldn't be putting Ben Doak anywhere near this team because he is so young. Yeah. But this, if you remember, this kind of happened with Michael Owen, he was there. And you really want to. I mean, Sterling got a bit rushed out. Fowler, we were a bit more calm with. But Owen comes in right at the end of the previous seasons, like 1996-97, and scores against Wimbledon right at the end of the season. And then at the start of the season, Fowler's injured, so he's kind of got no choice but to start. And once he starts, he just runs with it, and then he, you know, finishes the season at the World Cup and scoring against Argentina. I'm not saying that's going to happen with Ben Doak. There's a chance he just goes. You might not see him for years after January. You know, once Jota and Diaz are back available, that might be the last you'd ever see a Ben Doak. That just happens sometimes with you footballers. But I do wonder if our hand is forced a little bit. Sometimes that can be the making of footballers. It might be too soon. He might be too raw. But also, I don't know. He might just get given this chance, and he might be off at the races.
Yeah, you guys mentioned that, you know, there's nobody really else to come onto the bench if he's not there. I think your knowledge of the youth teams is quite poor, because you could obviously put Kwanzaa or Seedorf. Like, come on, there's ready made to just come in and take that spot. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
I love how obvious you made it.
Otherwise, everyone's just like a beta tit to you guys. But, no.
I genuinely thought you were going to pull that off, and I was going to go, oh, shocking. Yeah, if only there were a list of the youth players in the first team squad there.
Yeah. It will be Frauendorf will be on the bench, probably.
With Ben Doak, you can see he's got something special. He's got something. That Derby game in the League Cup, I think it actually was Frauendorf played on the right, and he did okay. He was making runs, and, you know, he kept going. He didn't let sort of the fact that he'd been tackled a couple of times get in his back. But you saw the difference in quality when Doak came on. You saw he'd immediately got something. He got the fans on their feet. You saw it in the friendly as well. He sends Lucas Digne for the echo when he comes on in that in that Villa game. You just see he's got something. Now, he is raw. He's extremely raw. You know, there's a couple of moments in that Milan preseason friendly where, you know, he could square it at the right time. He wanted a goal for himself, and, you know, he makes the right decision to set up Nunez for one of them. Then he makes the wrong decision going for a shot, and that's going to happen. But, you know, if we do find ourselves in a situation, I'm thinking of a lot of situations where we're not winning. I hope this doesn't come in. But
I just think there's more pressure on throwing him on with 10 minutes to go when you need something than there is giving
like
him
saying you do something.
Give him 45 minutes, give him a bit of a free hit. And again, if it means that, you know, Ox can come on and he's a little bit more fresh, or you know what I mean? Or Elliot is able to come in and do a thing, having had a little bit more rest time. I don't know.
You don't want to do what would do. You mentioned Owen. Which was slightly before I was born, but you don't want to do what we did with Sterling, which was we threw him on in one of the last games under Kenny, and all of a sudden at the start of Rodgers, he was always became our most important player at 17. We're not in a dire situation like we were then, but yes, ideally that's probably too much pressure, and, you know, the pressure got to Sterling in the end because he ended up going a year and a half where he was quite poor before he regained his form. You don't need to do that to Doak, I don't think. So it's all about management.
Well, yeah, let us know in the comments, you know, if Ben Doak as an example, and look, there's every chance he just is on the bench and doesn't even get on the pitch again, but, you know, would you rather see him as like a 10 minute impact sub or give him a little bit more of a run and then put a more senior player on later on? Let us know on that. We're going to be doing our 11s in a second. We're just going to do our BetMate teams for this week. We can bring up the team that you guys have collectively brought together. Do you want to just, Andy, just talk us through what you've gone for?
Yeah, I'll move me more.
It's all right. Just quick point. I have a 100% record in this going back to the summer at Nabi as a 0%. So one of those is going to change.
Mine is literally terrible. Like, I'll put a show on the week after I've been on it, and like it'll be you or Chris going, God, the guest is awful last week. And I'm like, I know, I'm sorry.
So we've gone, the question is, obviously we're allowed 6 Liverpool players and 5 Brentford, and we were always going to be positive and put the 4 Brentford on the bench and one has to start. So the conversation became who, what Brentford player do we throw in?
And if Tony weren't injured, that'd have started.
100%.
Put him at the back of my bench, just in case.
We've gone Josh De Silva purely because he scored a goal last night.
that
was it. He was the first player he came up because he got 8 points last week. So we've gone Alisson, Trent, and we've gone Van Dijk ahead of Robertson because I think you made the point that actually I was going to put Robertson in, but you said we don't know about his fitness. Thiago, it's a difficult one in Liverpool's midfield because we're not getting, you know, loads of goals and assists. Mm-hmm. So like Thiago, so you're safest bet in terms of who starts. And then it could only ever be Nunez and Salah up front, I think, the way they're playing at the minute.
So, right, you get to pick your captain and vice captain now. So double points for captain, and then it's 1.5 times points for vice. So who's picking for captain and vice?
There's one of Salah or Nunez. I'll let you pick.
It's probably safer to captain Salah, but I feel like I need to start having faith in Nunez. Like, I keep trying to give him loads of faith, but it doesn't happen. But
Nunez
is still trying.
Nunez is the vibes.
We could do
call,
captain, vice captain.
Go on then, do it.
Do you want to do that?
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, go on.
Nunes captain.
Do I press substitute? Yeah,
safe. Done. Yeah. And then Salah Vice.
Excellent.
Easy peasy.
Perfect.
There we go. Now scroll, just scroll down and save your team.
Just can't wait till this time next week when you're going. You did terrible last week.
What were they thinking? Yeah, just quickly, we'll get my team up for this week after we've seen Chris's. He's gone for David Ray. Chris Pajak has copied my technique of giving one of the vice or captaincies to the opposition goalkeeper. That has yielded positive results to me in the past. He's gone Kostas Trent, Naby Harvey, Darwin Nunes is captain, and he's kept even Tony in. Chris is horrifically hungover this morning from last night. Anybody who watched the fan cam video will understand why. Okay, what team we got next, Joe? There's mine. Yeah, I give David Raya my advice as well. I've gone Trent, Kostas, Thiago, De Silva. Yeah, is that right? Is that what I put in? Salah is my captain, and Darwin Nunes. And Steve has gone Ali in goal, Trent, Kostas, Thiago. He's gone to Silva, Salah and Nunes as well. So not much to pick between those two teams. You can play along as well. Download the BetMate app. Click the link in the description. You can also scan the QR code that's been on screen periodically throughout this stuff as well. The Liverpool versus Brentford pot is £5 to enter. There's a £1,000 prize pot available as well. And if you're a new customer, if you sign up using the referral code REDMEN10, REDMEN, all caps, and the number 1010, all as one word, technically, REDMEN10, you get £10 in free credit to play. So you can enter that pot and you can enter another one as well. And yeah, come and see how you get on against us, and will it be? What's going to happen, of course, is you're going to finish right in the middle.
I know, it'll be like your luck and my bad luck.
Well, you know, that's a curse broken either way.
Yeah,
one way or
the
other.
I'll take that now.
Okay, let's talk about our teams then and what we think it's going to be. Andy, you had to pick a team for this one.
If we're able to, I'd pick the same team that played against Villa. I'm more than happy for Costas to come in for Robertson if we need to. If Fabinho's back, I'd throw him back in. If not, yeah, I'd probably throw Keita in over Elliot, and go from there. And yeah, hopefully Gakpo on the bench. Yeah, so same team against Villa if we can, with those changes.
Okay.
If we have to.
Same from me, I'd say. Defo Kostas, though. I don't think Robbo's going to play. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, yeah, the thing is, I think we could do with freshening it up by a great Wolves game on the horizon does give us a little bit of breathing room, and there's an opportunity there to treat it like we always kind of do, where I think, like, for example, if he's fit, Bicetic will start the Wolves game,
yeah.
Definitely. I think, you know, you're more likely to use Doak at least off the bench in that game, maybe similarly with Bobby Clark. But so you've got a little bit more room to manoeuvre, and obviously Cody Gakpo should be ready for his first start, and that's, you've got less slots to worry about. But I don't think he likes to make too many changes. Sometimes injuries can play a part in that, can't they? So there's a potential where you could bring Konate in, you can bring Tsimikas in.
I would do that. I'd bring Konate in. I completely forgot about that.
You could bring Konate and Tsimikas in. Well, there you go. There's two changes. You changed two. You're back four already. If Harvey's not fit, then maybe you're looking at bringing Cater in, and then if we're already talking about maybe refreshing the front three, you're looking at maybe four. That's a lot of players to change game to game. I don't know whether he would do that. So I do think Konate will come in, and I think Tsimikas will come in. And then if Harvey can't play, I think that almost therefore guarantees that it will ask the front three to go again from Leicester, and that'll kind of be that. The fact that there's no real Ben and other players, you're like, it's got to be. Like, if Ben Doka played a lot off the, we've seen him play off the left, but the fact that we're seeing him off the right, you know, it means you're then moving Salah, which in itself becomes another change to your team. Mm-hmm. It is an interesting one, a big one for the manager. But I agree on the Konate point. He'll be back now. He'll have trained a few games.
I'd keep Matipin. You know, I thought Matip did all right last night. I thought he did really well. I'd keep him in. I mean, it's probably me just being too nice, but I just think after they've played well, it feels slight to just bump them out.
I'd have no problem with Joe. I totally agree. I thought he had a really good game against Leicester.
I'm pretty comfortable between them two, really. I mean, when Gomez comes in, I'm a bit more like, between Matip and Konate, I'm not too fussed which one either way.
Yeah. I mean, it's what we just don't know is that the level of squad management that is required.
Yeah.
Konate, my feeling is that he's our number two defender. I think that's where he is in the pecking order. You do have to be careful with Joel Matip.
Yes.
So I don't think it's like a slight on Matip to be like, you're not playing, mate. He's just played what, two games back to back. We do need to be careful with him. So, and Konate just needs to get back in and back up and running the game, really, doesn't he?
I think the fact that this is even a debate is massive credit to Matip's his fitness has improved in the last couple of years, because it wasn't long before Klopp was openly saying binary in press conferences, Joel Matip cannot play three games in a week. And all of a sudden, that's just gone out the window. So whether it's been some sort of change in his body that they've worked on, or whether he's just achieved a level of fitness.
So interestingly enough, I did an interview with Si Brundish in the summer, and it was a random off-the-cuff thing that he dropped in, that apparently when he had his surgery, when he, after 2021, the COVID season anyway, when he finally was written off, in fixing that, they found the underlying cause of all the problems that he'd been having and fixed it. And then the season that followed, he was available for the entirety of last season. Now, whether that's something else that was the best we were going to get because of his age and all that kind of stuff, and then he's gone back, reverted back to me in the season, we don't quite know just yet. But that was a really fascinating tidbit we got on Expert Insight last season, which I haven't seen mentioned anywhere else. But fingers crossed, because he's great. And people forget he's slightly younger than everyone thinks as well. He's a little bit younger than Van Dijk, so as much as I have him in my head as being like almost like the older one, because we've had him longer,
so long,
but he is fractionally young. I think he's like a year younger, isn't he? But the good thing is, what a great conversation to have. We haven't got these conversations anywhere else on the pitch at the moment where we can be saying, top quality centre half,
not there at the minute.
Just because of the injuries, as much as anything else. Any other changes that you make, let us know at home. If you're on YouTube, you can use the comments section. If you want to tweet us at the Redmen TV, you can do that as well. Let's have a little discussion around the other fixtures going on over the weekend, because as I said, it's kind of hard to wrap my head around. We've literally just come out of Leicester.
Man United have kicked off now.
We're playing us.
I can't believe it's Saturday.
I cannot believe it's Saturday. It's that period.
There's an actual just full day of football, like half 12 and BT, half 5 and Sky. It's just a normal day of football. How's that happened?
Fascinating
stuff. I haven't known what day of the week it's been all week, literally.
Yeah, so obviously if you come into this after, what day is it? Saturday today?
Saturday.
If you come to this on like Sunday, or if you come to this on New Year's Day, there we go, rather than New Year's Eve, obviously some of this will be updated, but New Year's Eve, Wolves were playing, right now currently playing Manchester United.
If we've
Man
nailed
City.
All these predictions, we promise we haven't recorded this at like 8:30 on the Saturday night.
City host Everton, Fulham host Southampton, Bournemouth host Palace, Newcastle host Leeds United. That'll be a really interesting one. Brighton, Arsenal's another one as well. Brighton, a bit of an Arsenal bogey team. If Arsenal have come back really well, I'd like to see them just show a little bit of vulnerability. That would be great. Tottenham Villa, again, it could be a close one, I think. Forest host Chelsea. I could really do with Nottingham Forest beating someone else that's not
make
us.
Make me feel a little bit better.
Just to make me feel better about it. Our game against Brentford is the 5:30 Monday, as mentioned, so we're rolling into that. Leicester, Fulham, Arsenal, Newcastle. That is a huge game. I mean, Brighton and Newcastle back-to-back for Arsenal. Talk about testing the title credentials. Arsenal at home with the Newcastle game. Everton, Brighton, Frank Lampard is fucked. United, Bournemouth, Southampton, Forest, Leeds, West Ham, Villa, Wolves, Palace, Tottenham, and then Chelsea City Thursday, the 5th of January. Big old game of footy that, Lots to look forward to. Hopefully, again, the beauty of the way the fixtures have kind of fallen is that getting played early doors and getting things out the way is a very, very good thing indeed. Hopefully, we can get the win. Hopefully, we can just look ahead with enjoyment at all the other teams and hope that people we don't like do things that we do, like I'd fucking lose. That would be absolutely great. Right, I'm going to press you for a score prediction. Brentford, Liverpool, Andy Bell, what do you think it's going to be?
2-1 Liverpool, really bitty late goal, Cody Gakpo.
Okay.
First touch.
Yeah, go on.
I'll say 2-0. We need a clean sheet. I'll say 2-0. Bendo get the second.
I do have a strong feeling this is going to be a real grind.
Yeah.
Like, there's going to 1-0 or 2-1 to Liverpool. I think, yeah, given the choice, I'd take the 1-0. Just be right clean for the sheet. For the clean sheet of it all. If we could not concede the first goal, if we can put that to bed as a thing, Liverpool, that would be magic. But yeah, let me know your score predictions in the comments underneath on YouTube. Don't forget to leave us your 11s as well. Guys, thank you so much. An absolute pleasure. If you need more Liverpool content in your lives, do go and check out all the Cody Gakpo content, as mentioned, on Redmen Plus, streaming right now in video and in podcast form. And we've also got all episodes streaming right now of My Liverpool Debut, a brand new documentary series. If you really want to get closer to Liverpool Football Club and some of the players who've pulled on that great red shirt, in their own words, the likes of Phil Thompson, Jamie Carragher, and even some of the sort of less celebrated former Liverpool players, Jim Beglin, Martin Kelly as well, all got to wear the famous red, all got to walk out and make a debut for Liverpool. The cultural stories, the first-hand stories of those in that new documentary series, highly, highly recommended on redmenplus.com right now. Anyway, guys, thank you so much. Have a wonderful new year. Mm-hmm. You're already, your head's already in getting bothered, so enjoy that.
I'm already there.
Yeah. Hope you guys have all had a wonderful time and have a boss new year yourselves. Thank you so much for all your support in 2022. New, more, and big, exciting things coming from Redmen in 2023. I can't wait to unveil some of the stuff in the coming weeks. So, yeah, hope to see you here on YouTube, on Acast, Spotify, iTunes, and, of course, on redmenplus.com, where our subscribers make everything happen and a reality for us, though, guys. Are amazing, and you can be one of them very simply and be amazing too. Who doesn't want to be amazing? Even though you're all I don't know what I'm talking about here anyway. I'm
half pissed as well.
Yeah, it's fine. Right, cool. I can shut up now. That's the last of me. Apart from the starting 11 prediction for 2022, I hope to see you over there. Ta-da.
Thanks for listening. If you want even more Bosch content and podcasts just like this, go over to redmenplus.com and sign up now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.